Hallelujah. I want us to read Psalms chapter 103, and this is basically the theme of this day, and it is one of the key messages that David shared. You know, David was a singer, David was a worshiper, David was a king, David was a prophet, David was a warrior. He was multidimensional. God can anoint you so much that people will wonder, why did God give just one man everything? Only one man, God gave him everything. But there was something about David. David learned the secret of worshiping God. You know, when you study the history, church history, it tells us that David might not have been a legitimate son of his father. In fact, when he says, in sin was I conceived, it is assumed that he was referring that his mother got him out of adultery. And that is why when David was born, he is the last one. No one is caring for him. He is sent to take care of the father's sheep. He was the forgotten son. But in that desert, there was something that he was doing. In that wilderness, he used to play music and worship God. It was in that secret place that he discovered his place with God. Because God does not meet people in the open. Not many people think that God will meet you in the open. But God is not found in the noise. God is found in the stillness, in the quiet. When David said, my soul thirsts for you, my spirit is hungry, is thirsty for you, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul thirsts for you. He had discovered there was a hunger for God, that it was only God who could satisfy the love that he could not get from his parents. He will play his music. He will take care of his sheep. He was faithful. And in that place, God remembered him. When they were looking for a musician, they said, I know of a son of Jesse. When did they hear him play? The man was playing in the bush. But you see, there are things that you do with God that God announces you in the open. There is a fire that you will light, that God will now be looking for where to place you. When he says that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, no one lights up a lamp and puts it under the table. You might think that you have been forgotten. You might think that you are hidden. But I assure you, it's just a matter of time. If you believe that, say amen. It's just a matter of time. Continue lighting that fire, that lamp. God will place it on a hill. And when God lifts you up, everyone will say, this one was called by God. Don't think because you're a lady, God cannot use you. God will use you. You can be the next evangelist of South Sudan, the next rain at Bonke. You just stay with God. When you stay with God, you will discover yourself. You will discover your destiny. God will tell you things about your future. The things that no one can take away from me are the things God has told me himself. The question I would ask is, what has God spoken to you? What do you know about yourself that you know no one can take away from you? This is the man David. That is why when they were coming to look for him, they brought all the sons. They brought all the generals. Eh? The first brothers, they were all muscular. They were tall. They looked like the king. They looked like Saul. Because Saul was a tall man, giant. He was a head taller than everyone else. And Samuel the prophet even was confused. He said, surely the Lord's anointed stands. Because he saw the muscles. He saw the height. And God said, I don't see the way man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I see the heart. How is your heart? Is your heart one that desires God? And I thank you that you are here. Because for me, it tells me that you desire God above any other place.
You could have been watching
Musanza, is that how they call it, right? You could have been, movies. You could have been on Facebook right now. You could have been visiting people. But you decided to be in the house of God. And David was such a man. And so when you see, when he says in this Psalms 103, the Bible says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." What do we see from that? We can see that the word there that is used is the word barak. You know, someone will ask, what does it mean to bless God? Can you bless God? Even if God was to give you a chance to bless him, can you bless him? No. But the word there is barak. And barak means a worship to God, that you are kneeling before God. Now, he is saying that, praise the Lord, that let me kneel in adoration to my Lord. And then he not only commands, you know, he recognizes that God is Lord. You know, when someone is Lord, it means he is owner. When you say you are landlord, that means he is the owner of that land and the owner of your house. When you say Jesus is your Lord, you are saying that I belong to Jesus and he is my king. He is my owner. So, you cannot say Jesus is Lord and you want to do your own things. When Jesus is your Lord, you submit to his lordship. Many Christians, they believe in Jesus, but they have not yet recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. They just confessed, but it did not make sense to them. There was no revelation that Jesus Christ is the Lord. When that revelation comes, then you can see what David says. He said, "Oh my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." You know, the human body, a man is made up of three parts. Made up of his body, made up of his mind, and made up of his body, his soul, and his spirit. Now, the spirit is from God. The spirit, for an unbeliever, that spirit is dead. Because when Adam sinned, he died. But the believer who has come to Jesus, the spirit is regenerated and made in the image of God, in true holiness and righteousness. But then the soul is where you, as Emmanuel, you, as you know, as your name, Geoffrey, the soul is you, the innermost you. When your soul lives, we say, let us bury the body. We don't say, let us bury Emmanuel. We say, let us bury the body. Why? Because Emmanuel is not here. He is either in paradise with God or he is awaiting judgment in hell. Because even hell is not the final place. Hell is just waiting place of torture before the final lake of fire. Eh? So, when we speak about the mind, the soul is where you reason from. This is the place where your mind is. This is the place where your emotions are. This is the place where your will, you know, in Greek there's a word called ego. Yourself, your ego is, this is your soul. Because ego is who you are, what you want to be satisfied. So when he says the soul, he's referring to his inner man. You can easily describe yourself as your inner man and your outer man. Your outer man is your body, the one that we can touch. But your inner man is your the union of your soul and your spirit that is like, it looks like you. On the outside, you might look like you are lame, but your inner man is not lame. Those people who have died, and God brought them back, they say they left their body. They could see their body. They saw themselves, and they saw themselves down. And they saw themselves, and they're like, ah, so this is the real me. There's a guy who died. And the Bible, and not the Bible, the historian says that he was in an accident. And he found himself outside the car. Then he started watching the people. They were starting to remove bodies from the bus. And then he saw his body being carried. The legs were broken. And then he started telling people, carry this through the something. He tries to talk to them. They cannot hear. He says, ah, carry me gently. You guys, can you see the leg is broken? The way you're carrying. Then he wondered, what happened? Then he decided to go home. So he moved. He thought that he was in his home. Then he heard his father and mother speaking. They were saying, ah, we have missed our boy. Then the mother was saying, was passing. So he tried to speak to the father. The father did not notice. Then the mother was passing. He went and tried to help the mother. The mother just passed. But immediately he passed the mother sensed something. Said, Baba, this boy has not called us. He has taken to the, why don't you call him? Then they found out that there was an accident. The inner man is the real you. Now, when the Bible in the book of James tells us that a double-minded man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, what does that mean? It speaks of a person who, in his mouth, is saying, God, bless me. But in his inner man, he's saying that, I don't even know how God will help me. And you know, God listens to both your mouth and he also listens to your inner man. Because God is spirit. Now, those things that you are thinking in the spirit world, they are very loud. Now, God is wondering, which prayer should I answer? Is it the one who is praying with his mouth and God bless me? Or the one who is saying, even I have no future? So when God says that the double-minded man shall not expect to receive anything from the Lord, it is because even God is confused. Which one should I answer? When the Bible says that salvation, you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there are people who are confessing with their mouth, but their inner man has not yet believed. So are they saved? No. They are just confessed. An example was Simon the sorcerer. In fact, the Bible calls him, even after he was saved, Simon the sorcerer. That tells you that the man was yet to be converted. He confessed, the Bible says he believed, he confessed, he was following, but all he was looking for was for miracles. The people were following Jesus, they were looking for bread. They said, this one gave us bread and fish. We want bread and fish. They said, we want him. So Jesus still said, if you are coming for bread and fish, just go away. I don't need you. In fact, he said, come and eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, this one is a hard teaching. Let us run away. That is how Jesus sifts those who are truly following him and those who are not following him. You see, God is not a respecter of human beings. When he says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, human beings can reject you. But if you seek God, God has rewards. Even people who sought God in the wrong way, in ignorance, they still get the reward of seeking God. Because his word is his bond. What he has said must happen. So, David is commanding his inner man, not just his mouth. He is speaking to himself and saying, my soul, you Emmanuel that is inside me, you David that is inside me. He says, praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. This is a recognition that God is number one. When Jesus was asked, Lord, teacher, which is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is summarized in one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And he says, and the second one, which is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That means there is a certain love that God is looking for. He's looking for hearts that are hungry for God. Hungry for the presence of God. Hungry to be with Jesus. You're not looking at who is standing before you. You're not coming because of Brother Ayashi. You're not coming because of Sister someone else. No, you are coming because you are coming to meet Jesus. And Jesus comes to men through men. You are looking for the miracle. You are looking for visions. Yet, every day he stands before you to speak to you. The question is, will you hear? Will your ears be open? David says, praise the Lord, oh my soul, all my inmost being, praise him. Was David in a good situation? No. This was a man who was hated by Saul. This was a man who was running from cave to cave. This was a man who was running, who was ashamed. His brothers were ashamed of him. They said, who did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness with? You have just come to mock us in the war. This was a man who was despised even when he's going. Goliath says, you small boy, am I a dog that you come to me with stones and sticks? The man knew how to praise God, whether he was happy or things were not okay. This is a command that you command yourself, that even if I am alone, I will praise God. Job knew it. Job was alone. Job was discouraged. Job lost all his children. He was in pain. He was in wounds. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, may his name be praised. How do you praise when you are in pain? When you have a sickness that has not ended? It is because you see beyond the physical. The Bible says we don't fix our eyes on what is temporal, on what is external, on what things that are changing, but we fix our eyes on the unseen, on the inner man that is being renewed every day from glory to glory. This inner man that decides to follow after God is going to be transformed day after day into the image of God, into the very same image, from glory to glory. There is a time where you must lift your eyes from what is happening around you. Yes, it looks like outside you are delayed, but with God you are always on time. Yes, it looks like you are just few in number, but do you know how many angels are surrounding you? Elisha, the servant, was alone with Elisha. And he said, Master, alas, the armies have surrounded us. The Syrians have surrounded us. And Elisha said, oh God, open his eyes to see that they are more with us than are with them. And the Bible says, when God opened his eyes, he saw countless of chariots of fire and horses around the man of God. They were not even around him. You know, God is very amazing the way he puts it. Instead of saying they were around them together, they were around the man of God. That means on the outside world, he looks alone. Can you imagine a whole Syrian king coming to arrest one man? That's why he was called the chariots and horsemen of Israel. One man commands the host of angels' armies That is available. There are men who have walked this earth. When they enter a town, all the demons back. I was hearing a story, was it in Uganda, where the devil worshippers, when they heard that this evangelist was coming, they were all told, leave Kampala, don't be within a radius of 70 kilometers. And they all left. Because they are told this guy is coming. Because when these men move, they move with the host of angel armies with them. There's another man of God, he was praying. And every night he was struggling to pray. He was saying, one day he tried to pray and the heavens were open. And he said, God, what happened today? So he said, oh, my son is visiting the tower. He's around. And his angels have cleared the atmosphere. One man can make a difference. A church can look like it is dying. But if you step there with God, says, look to your father Abraham. You who follow after my shepherd, look to your father Abraham. I called him alone. And I blessed him and I increased him. God can call you alone. Not even with your wife, not even with your husband. And he says, my covenant is with you. God established the covenant with Mary alone. The husband was thinking, I will divorce this one. You try. She said, my covenant is with God. She just said, okay, be unto me according to your word. Alas. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There is a peace that God will give you, child of God, when you understand the secret of your inner man. Praising God, adoring God, worshiping God, surrendering to God alone. This is what David commands. Then he now gets to list the benefits. You know, it is good at times to count what God has done in your life. Verse 2, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I don't know what God has done in your life. What has God done in your life this year? Think about it. There is no day you have slept hungry by choice. Maybe by fasting. There is no day you have been kicked out of your home, that you have walked naked, that you don't have any clothes to wear. There is no day that you have lacked soap to bathe. There is no day that you have lost your mind, that you woke up to a man. Yesterday we just got news that one of the brothers just a guy with just 5 children, very young guy, young children. And 5 years ago, he had a clot in the heart, went to ICU, and he packed like that. Now the madam has posted, oh, these children are left as orphans. And you ask yourself, is there anything you need special to God? Did you pay God anything? Have you paid God some money? For your life, for oxygen, that you can breathe. You know how much it is to pay for oxygen in ICU per hour. The time of COVID, they were saying was it $100 per hour, just for the machine to run. And if they remove it for 1 minute, you will die. You go. Yet God has never charged you for it. David, he understood this. He said, praise the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The problem of human beings is we forget. You forget the time when you were sick and you told God, God, if you heal me, I'm going to be faithful. You are doing your exam, you say, God, this exam, it looks like I have failed. But if I just pass, I will always come for Christian Union. I will always be an evangelist. I will win a soul. When things forget, God does not forget. That's why he says, do not be a fool. Do not be rash in making vows. Keep your vows before God. Why should you die early? What are the vows you have spoken to God? Remember, it's come with benefits. It says, forget not all his Then he starts to list them. Number one, he says, he forgives all your sins. I don't know how heavy that line is for you. But I don't know if there's anyone here who does not need forgiveness of sins. We all need the mercy of God to forgive us. The Bible says if God was to count our sins against us, who can stand?
Is there anyone that can stand?
If God is to count your sins, even not even yesterday, today again, just today. If God was to count the sins you have done today and says, because you're one, you are jealous of your brother. The sister entered, she pushed you a bit, you almost abused them. You abused them in your heart. That already is abuse, eh? Someone was looking very nice, you thought a wicked thought. Eh? Already those are sins, those are three, which you have already committed, eh? That means that if you are to die now, by God's judgment, you have to go to hell. But by the mercy of God, which is your faith in Jesus, that even if there are things that I might not have had time to repent, because maybe it has not come to my mind, God is the one who says he will keep you and present you to the Father with great joy. What is your assurance of salvation? What is your assurance that God will take you to heaven? It is not your efforts. Your righteousness before God is filthy rags. It is only what Jesus did on the cross. And David discovered this. He said, the blessedness of the one to whom God does not count his sin against. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. He discovered a certain blessedness. Can you imagine? There is someone who, yes, he has sinned, but God has decided I won't count them. This is what gives us the confidence to know that we have a Father. Bible says he loves us. This is not to say that now you run into sin, you do whatever you want. No. You live according to his purposes. You walk in righteousness. But you still know that even if there are things you might fall in, the Bible says the blood of Jesus purifies us. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And then the blood of Jesus, the word of God, purifies us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness is not you, it is God's declaration over your life. When he says you are righteous, he says you have right standing with the meaning. Not because of yourself, because of Jesus. The Bible says that he forgives all your sins. There's no sin that you have done that God cannot forgive you, my sister. There's nothing that God cannot forgive you. You might not forgive yourself. Human beings will never forgive you. Yes, you got pregnant out of wedlock. Yes, you are aborted. Men will never forgive you. I assure you, men will never forgive you. I ask if you are presented before the wedding, even if you have confessed 100 times, they will not allow you to stand before them. Men will not forgive you, but God will forgive you. God will forgive you. And God forgives. That is our Father. He is your Father. He forgives you. He loves you. It's just like a child. The child, when the child is dirty, when the mother says, "It's no longer my child," he just says, "Come, I will clean you. Come back for cleaning." The papa is dirty. Come back for cleaning. The Bible says he forgives. He does not say this one cannot be forgiven. No. Our Father forgives all our sins. The second benefit, he heals all your diseases. ago, I was walking. I went to play some games, then I hurt my leg. I tore my ligament 80%. And for the past 3 years, I've just been limping. Someone is asking, but why? Don't worry, I have a hip. There is a truth that you know about God, that it won't matter what you're facing now. If you know that God is your healer, you say, yes, it has been 12 years with this issue of blood, but I still have a healer. And Jesus called healing the children's bread. The Syrophoenician woman came and asked, no, give me. Jesus said, yes, it is wrong to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Children's bread. Healing is for the children. He does not say there are diseases that cannot be healed. Science will tell you this one, we cannot heal. This one, just go home and die. When they tell you that, just tell them, thank you, doctor. Because that is the limit of your knowledge. There is a God that is above. He's above science. He's above history. He's above chemicals. He's above bones. He can bring bones back to life. Bone to bone. Ligament to ligament. Sinew to sinew. Tissue to tissue. Blood to blood. And a mighty army stood up. He was a good professor. The dry bones. There's a power in God. He heals all your diseases. Number three, He delivers, He redeems your life from the pit. You are lost in a pit, He will redeem your life. He will deliver your life. That means you are in the pit of death, the shadow of death. He will redeem your life. David, many times he was in caves alone, crying. But God lifted him up. Remember when he was dancing and praising God and his clothes fell off. The daughter of Saul, his wife, said, how can a king disgrace himself? Said, this God that picked me up from a shepherd boy and made me to be king over Israel, I will even be more undignified before him. You must know who God is. He raises the poor from the dust and makes them to sit in the praises of the land. He raises the poor from the dust. God will lift you up. God will raise you up. God will take you to nations. Nations that do not know you will bow to you. There are times, there are places I enter, they show me honor and I'm like, is this really me? You pinch yourself. You ask yourself, you know, there are times, you know, let me tell you, where I work, there are times you are driven with cars, right? The cars that only the big people do with flags. You ask yourself, how did I end up here? Me, this poor boy, who grew up in a foreign land, how did we end up here? The days when you will ask for money, and the only one answer you know, there is no money. One day my sister asked, Baba, when will we ever have money? Every time I ask for something, you say there is no money. When will we ever have money? And God said, He raises the poor from the dust. Makes them to sit in the princes of the land. God is the lifter up of men. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord. Children, know God. He is the one that will redeem your life from the pit. Then the Bible says, after He redeems us from the pit, what does He do next? He crowns you with love and compassion. Can you imagine? You're given a crown. Crowns are for what? Kings and queens. And the crown on your head is what? Love and compassion. Why did the Bible not just say love alone? Compassion is to add, to show that this is a more affectionate care for you. He is more compassionate. He is feeling close to you. And even when you're struggling, you say, my child, I am with you. God has compassion on you. God loves you. That he says, as far as is the east from the west, he has taken away your sin. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He remembers that we are dust. He knows how we are formed. The Bible says, he satisfies your desires or your mouth with good things. Jesus told his disciples, it is the Father's will to give you the kingdom. Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's nothing God cannot give you. The question is, if he gives you, what will it do to you? Some men, if you give them money, they marry three wives. Some ladies, the moment they get a job, they now become busy. The moment they get married, they no longer appear in church. Their only target was to get married. And then they get tired. Now she has her own bed. I'm out of it. Now I'm busy at home.
Sometimes you are the one who delays your own blessings. Because God knows you cannot handle it. He has already calculated. He said, this one, I cannot. The maximum he can handle is 500,000 a month. Because the moment I give him 1 million,
he starts smoking and drinking marijuana and alcohol, eh? And visiting all the pubs and buying for people alcohol. And, eh? You know, God can test you with money. That's a small job. He just give you. $500. That day you cannot sit down. You have visited all the shops, you have seen all the clothes, you have been calculating, hey, what is the SSP rate today? If I change today, or do I change tomorrow? Do I do this? You cannot sleep.
Now God is saying, now this one, I wanted to give him job of at least 1,000.
But 500 is confused. And now you continue in your wilderness at least. God says, he will satisfy your desires with good things. Don't feel bad to have good things. God can give you a nice car. It is good. Amen? Say, I receive. God will give you a nice husband. Say, amen. God will give you a nice house. Say, amen. You know, people are fearing because you're not used to good things, right?
Or you're fearing the good things will destroy you.
Again, eh? Yeah, I'm receiving for myself one level of glory to another. Hallelujah. He satisfies. God just gives you until you are satisfied. What does that mean that you feel that if you get, you'll be satisfied? Just think about it now. What does that mean that you'll satisfy you? Is it chips and chicken? Is it a good job? Is it to get married? Is it to have 5 children? God says it satisfies your desires with good things. And the Bible says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
Every day you will get younger. Say amen.
Every day you will get younger and more beautiful. People, you don't believe it.
He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah!
Amen. And the Bible says he works righteousness and justice with the oppressed. Telling you, if you are under oppression, it is the end of your oppression. Amen. That thing that has been oppressing you in your dreams, there is an end to it. The day for you to end is today. Amen. Because the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Is there a God that can be praised? Can you praise him? Can you worship him? Can you say, Father, I thank you. You have done so much for me.
Let us stand. Just take a moment and
and just worship this Father. Just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done. For the mighty things that you have done in my life. For the glorious things that you are doing. Your mighty miracles. They are great things that he has done. They are wonder-working works that God has done. That God is here. He loves you. He loves you. He is concerned for your life. He has never forsaken you. He has never abandoned you. He has never left you alone. Even though men forsook you. Even though your friends, they got married. They went ahead of you. But you are still coming back with speed. You are still coming back at the right time. You are never late. God is always on time with you. Just speak to your Father. Declare, yes, Father, I am coming with speed. I am coming at the right time. I am not left behind. I am not abandoned. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No others have gone ahead. I am coming to overtake. I am coming to conquer. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The enemy, his death has come to an end. The days of oppression are over. The days of discouragement are over. The days of defeat are over. No more discouragement. No more defeat. No more days of being few in number. There is a new work that God is doing in your life. He is increasing you day by day. He is changing your life. He is making you a new creature, a new creation. There is a change to your destiny. There is a change to your life. Somebody pray to God. Declare that this is the end of my suffering. This is the end of my sickness. This is the end of my trouble. This is the end of my shame. No more shame. No more disappointment. No more defeat. I declare the end of my suffering. I am walking in the newness of life. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. I am more than a conqueror. I defeat every power of the enemy. No power of the enemy stands in place before me. I scatter every works of darkness in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, your power moves in this place. Your power breaks the chain of darkness. It breaks the demonic activity. It breaks the process of darkness. In the name of Jesus, be free. Ayata darama